Good morning. Welcome to Radio Activity. I'm Rob Loright. Coming up, we're going to talk about the president's remarks that he made yesterday about mail-in voting, suggesting that it leads to fraud. We'll talk about that later on the program with the Manatee County Supervisor of Elections. But first, Governor Ron DeSantis pushed back yesterday on the assertion that the firing of a health department data manager in Tallahassee was an insidious act of data suppression as Florida seeks to march toward normalcy amid the coronavirus pandemic. The staffer, Rebecca Jones, who claims she built the COVID-19 data dashboard, said she was fired because she would not change data to support the plans to reopen the state. Jones' dismissal captured national headlines and ignited concerns about how transparent the state is being with coronavirus figures. Here's what Governor DeSantis said yesterday as he was talking to the press in Orlando.
What she was doing was she was putting data on the portal, which the scientists didn't believe was valid data. So she didn't listen to the people who were her superior. She had many people above her in the chain of command. And so she was dismissed because of that and because of a bunch of different reasons about how she did. Come to find out, she's also under active criminal charges in the state of Florida. Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks, Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened.
Governor DeSantis yesterday speaking in Orlando. We're joined now by Democratic State Senator Janet Cruz of Tampa, who's been following the case of Rebecca Jones. And Senator Cruz, thanks for coming on WMNF. Great to have you back.
My pleasure, Rob. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Frustrated by the governor's remarks yesterday. Embarrassed as a senator and as a woman to watch a typical ad hominem and total character assassination of a woman who was lauded by Dr. Birx for having one of the best dashboards in the country. Now all of a sudden she's not the architect. Now all of a sudden her involvement was minimal, which is just simply not true. I mean, you know, what he didn't do, and we just talked about that, is he never addresses why was she instructed to take down the data. And why was she taken off the dashboard and later terminated? But even more curious to me is why was she offered a settlement if she was such an insubordinate? And my guess is that in this settlement that she accepted, there's probably some kind of gag order or non-disclosure. So she cannot talk about what happened. But Governor DeSantis has full range of the media to discredit and assassinate this woman's care. World would he have mentioned that, if not to just discredit the woman? It's just ridiculous.
He did raise the issue of the misdemeanor charges, and it's hard for me to figure out how many, whether there were one or two. This idea that we haven't heard from Rebecca Jones yet, do you have any other insight other than maybe speculating that she filed some sort of non-disclosure agreement? Do we know anything more, or is
no.
there... Go ahead.
And that is pure speculation on my part, but she was pretty vocal, and she reached out to people and warned them that the data that they would see in the future would, the data that they would see in the future, they probably should question. And, what they've done here really, Rob, is undermine public trust. And it's very dangerous to public health.
Well, how do we get to the bottom of this? I mean, what tools do members of the state legislature have, if any, to try to make sure that the COVID-19 dashboard that the Department of Public Health is is publishing every day. What tools do you have to make sure that what Jones said is either true or false or somewhere in between? How can you investigate?
Well, we have Senator Jose Javier Rodriguez has requested a formal investigation by an independent source where we'll investigate what actually happened to Ms. Jones and what is actually taking place. I mean, Rob, why should we trust what they're saying now? They instructed, they made it nearly impossible in the beginning to see the data on nursing home infections and nursing home deaths. There's been such a lack of transparency here, and that's exactly what they were asking this woman to do. You know, they asked her to remove columns, and columns vanished, and then columns reappeared after she expressed that she thought it was a very bad idea. So there's a lack of transparency here, and we can demand an investigation, but we're talking about 20 years of one party in power, and sometimes I think it's a little bit abusive.
Is there an inspector general that could look into this?
I think there is. I think there is, and I think that that's part of what Senator Rodriguez is asking for.
The governor apparently complained about her misdemeanor charges and asked why she was hired. There were misdemeanor charges apparently filed after she was employed by the Florida Health Department. These did not come before.
Honestly, if it's not an offense that falls under the purview of a state employee, why is he even bringing that up? I think there was a mention that had to do with some cyber stalking of perhaps an ex-boyfriend or something. I'm not condoning that, nor am I dismissing it. But I'm saying, what the heck does that have to do with the fact that this woman essentially was a whistleblower? I mean, that's really what this is all about. That all of this is retaliation for the fact that she was not going to be part of fudging the numbers or making it harder for people to pull the data off the site. I mean, she was instructed to make it harder to get the data, to disable the ability to export data files from the dashboard. That was intentional so that journalists who were trying to analyze the data wouldn't be able to export the data unless they did it manually.
Well, we're talking about the situation involving Rebecca Jones, a former employee of the Florida Health Department, who claims that she built the COVID-19 data dashboard that's widely used here in Florida to look at the statistics about COVID-19 here in Florida. She says she was fired because she would not change data to support the plans to reopen the state of Florida. And our guest is Democratic State Senator Jana Cruz of Tampa. So if there was a financial settlement, would that be part of the public record?
That's a good question, Rob, and I don't have the answer to that right this moment, but I'm guessing that they did something to keep this private under the auspice of human resources, some kind of privacy act.
If other state employees see problems with the way the government is operating, do they have whistleblower protection?
Well, they should. I mean, they should have whistleblower protection, and I'm not exactly sure what happened here, and that's why we need an investigation. I mean, the leadership is so sensitive about this dashboard and so sensitive about these numbers, and we've seen it everywhere. You know, we see that there's a real attempt to suppress these numbers, to suppress the infection rate, to hide the number of deaths in nursing homes, to ask the coroner not to release numbers. This is all an attempt to move our state forward and damned be the old and the sick. They'll just have to be collateral damage here.
State Senator Jana Cruz is with us. So, Senator, I want to ask you about the unemployment numbers. Another 223,000 people filed for unemployment in the state last week. You and I have talked in the past, and I know you've talked to other media outlets about the state's unemployment system. Is the state's unemployment system fixed or on the way to being fixed?
I am hesitant to say that it's even on the way to being fixed. I see that the number of emails and phone calls in my office stronger than ever. And I think that in the 500 people that we have that have been waiting since March for their first check, we see that some of those folks are receiving a check. But, you know, if they're receiving one check out of eight that's owed to them, and they drop these checks into a direct deposit, and these folks don't know what week they're being paid for. They don't even have a way to track and figure out if they were paid for week one or paid for week six. They're still not seeing the federal drawdown dollars from the stimulus package, so we are far from being fixed. But we are seeing folks receiving at least one check, which means that they are in the queue to move forward. But we are far, far, far away from even servicing the majority of those. Millions of Floridians, so many of whom live paycheck to paycheck, continue to find themselves in these dire straits. And I've been asking the governor to do something in a more blanket and immediate manner, maybe just pay the damn claims and then claw back the money if you deem them ineligible for something. But they refuse to think about that. And instead, they've been deflective, misleading, dismissive, defensive. You know, for real or convenience reasons, they're just totally out of touch here.
With more and more people working part-time or working as private contractors, gig workers, whether they're working for Uber or any other place, they're calling our radio station and saying the state website for unemployed people does not ask the right questions, and it gives them no ability to explain that they're a gig worker, they're not a permanent worker, and the state, we've heard from so many people who are saying that they were turned down by the state. Do you know what the situation is for gig workers?
Yes. Typically under state unemployment at the $275 a week rate for 12 weeks, a gig worker or a self-employed individual is not entitled to those benefits. But what they are entitled to is the stimulus money, the CARES package that comes from the federal government, and that's $600 a week. But the kicker here is that you have to apply through the state unemployment site to receive that money. And because the state is in the midst of this IT debacle with this $77 million website that doesn't work, they can't quite figure out how to fix this so that they don't have to tell a gig worker that they're ineligible. So oftentimes these gig workers get through the entire application, then it tells them that they're ineligible. But what it does in essence is move it over to the Connect website, and it does recognize that they're eligible. But it only happens for these folks after they make numerous phone calls and they apply and reapply. It's still a disaster. And I would tell you that if you have gig workers out there that that are still without pay or are worried or can't get through the system, they should call the office, because my staff works 10 hours a day, all three of them, answering calls and helping folks get paid. So if you have a claim number, you should give us a call and let us try to check for you.
Well, as long as you said that, what's the
answer? You can call these call centers. They've hired these temp employees in the call centers that are not qualified to answer the questions. You can call three different times, speak to three different operators, and get three different answers. They're just not trained well enough. So for better or for worse, my office and several other of the senators and the state representatives' offices have become real, we've become real experts at this unemployment issue, and so I would encourage people to give us a call.
Well, Senator, what is your office number in Tampa?
They can call 813-758-7000. 813-758-4545.
813-758-4545. There a million calls were made to the system on Monday. I don't know how. Senator, why would gig workers be excluded from getting unemployment insurance? Because that more and more is the way many people are employed. Why did the state decide to exclude gig workers?
Well, because typically, oftentimes, if you are one employee in a business, you're not obligated to pay the unemployment tax. So if you don't pay into the system, you're not eligible to receive from the system.
I see.
I think if you have two or more employees, then you have to pay into the system. But if you're a single employee, you don't have to pay, so you're not eligible to the money that's been collected for those that pay. And let me add that there is a lot of money in the unemployment trust fund because we're terrible at paying out. The system was built and designed under the premise that anyone who is applying is a cheater and a fraud. So just to get through the system, you have to go through four different fraud checks. Number one is that they send it up to the feds and verify your Social Security number. Number two, they send it to other states to make sure you're not receiving money from other states. Number three, they check and make sure that you're not already on the state unemployment. And then number four, they verify with your employer that you have been furloughed. And if your employer's office is closed and they call and they don't reach them, that, you know, they'll try once a week. So you could be waiting weeks before they verify that last step. And the application doesn't move. You know, it starts with step one, two, three, four, and nothing moves forward until step one passes, then they go to step two. It's just a system that's designed to make it impossible to receive the benefits on a good day, you know, before the pandemic hit. 8 out of 10 claimants were denied in a good economy. So you can only imagine how bad it is now.
Senator, it seems like the state's being hit right now as we speak with an avalanche of problems, not just the people who are unemployed, who can't get through the system or are waiting for their first or second check, but the other big problem that's happening is that state revenue is down. And the projections for the coming months, it's going to continue to fall because we're such a tourist-based economy.
Mm-hmm.
What
It is a domino effect, and we have a gigantic, we are going to have a gigantic budget hole to plug, and we are a $93 billion budget, or we were a $93 billion budget this past year, and that's what we budgeted for. So we requested a special session, but as you can imagine, leadership doesn't want a special session right now, not with the Democrats enraged over this unemployment issue, because we're going to head to Tallahassee and rail on this and some of the other injustices that we're seeing and what's happening here. So the last thing they want is a special session. But we do have to address the shortfalls in the budget. And some of what we heard the Senate president say was that they thought there was enough in federal dollars coming forward that would plug the budget hole, but I don't believe that to be true. If I had to make a wild guess, I would guess that we'll go into a special session for something like gaming and be ready to deal with perhaps the tribe for some of the money that they were paying us for the exclusive rights of certain games in their casinos.
One of the things that the session did, or the legislature did during the last session, was pass a $500 million tax break for corporations. And I know some Democrats have said that that would be one way to help fix the budget problems. I've also been told by people in Tallahassee that's dead on arrival. That idea is dead on arrival. But this legislature, the majority party, the Republicans, have been giving tax breaks to businesses for years and years.
They certainly have, and it's been a priority for a long time. I always tell people that you should follow the money, and you can see that most of the tax breaks and most of the focus is on on the major corporations in Florida. But I will tell you that I'm very worried, and I hope that the commitment to teachers and the commitment to pay our teachers more, I hope that that is protected. And in speaking with Commissioner Corcoran, he is going to do everything in his power to make sure that the teachers and their raises stay whole. But we'll see. You know, I think that, you know, there's a big push for a false hope here that we're emerging well and doing well in this economy with this pandemic. But the jobless rate today nationwide is 23%. And the infection rates continue to rise. So I don't know who they think they're kidding. I know that people are hopeful and optimistic, but this is far from over, Rob.
Isn't the tourism industry always the last to recover? I mean, we're such Indeed. A heavily... And so if they think that the recovery's around the corner, it's going to be years. We have to wait till Pennsylvania and New York and Massachusetts and Michigan and the northern states recover before those tourists are going to come back here.
I agree. And I believe, Rob, that we are not going to see tourism at the levels that we have appreciated in the past until we have a vaccine. I just don't believe that families are going to be comfortable traveling to hotels and attractions until there's a vaccine. So, you know, this could be a year away, if not more.
Do you and overall, how would you rate how leadership in Tallahassee and the governor are taking this situation? What grade would you give them?
Well, you know, I think that they're panicked. I think they really are panicked and looking forward to realizing how close they are to November and, you know, determined to make this economy, I call it a dreamland. You know, they're determined to convince Floridians that our economy is okay and we're getting back to normal. But, you know, this is a tsunami that's going to kind of sneak in on us and just flood us. You know, we're not seeing the worst of the economic consequences for months. It's just going to continue to get worse. And I still think, honestly, this is just my opinion, I think we're looking at days ahead where we're going to see the market drop and that will be, you know, further demise of our economy and push us deeper into a recession. So it's nice to be optimistic now, but reality is going to hit soon. We have to get our heads out of dreamland and take a look at what's ahead of us.
Well, State Senator Janet Cruz, thanks for coming on WMNF. Thank you.
Oh, Rob, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, great to have you here. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That's State Senator Janet Cruz. And again, if you want to call her office, if you're in Tampa, you may want to call her office if you're having unemployment issues. Her number is 813-758-4545. Of course, if you're in Pasco County or Manatee or Sarasota or Pinellas County or Polk, you might want to call your local state representative or local state senator, and I'm sure they're doing similar things to what Senator Cruz is doing. Well, President Trump has threatened to hold back federal funding from two election battleground states that are making it easier to vote by mail during the current pandemic. Yesterday, he later backed away somewhat from that threat, but he stuck with his claim that widespread voting by mail promotes a lot of illegality. Trump targeted Michigan and Nevada yesterday. At first, he claimed Michigan was sending out more than 7 million mail-in ballots, but after criticism, he corrected that to say mail-in ballot applications. Elections officials have sent out applications in several other states, including right here in Florida. Mike Bennett is a former Republican state senator. He's now the supervisor of elections in Manatee County, and I asked him this morning about the president's remarks. Michael Bennett, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Rob, it's always good to talk to you and happy to share with your audience out there, which I know, especially with everybody staying home, is large and wide right now.
That's really true. You put your finger on it. I want to ask you about the president's comments yesterday about mail-in voting. He said, mail-in ballots are a very dangerous thing. They're subject to massive fraud. In your experience as the supervisor of elections in Manatee County, what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And in some ways it's tough for me to comment, in others it's not. But in Manatee County, as far as we know, and we watch it pretty good. I've been here for 8 years. I kind of look back another 4 years beyond that. So I can say in 12 years of looking at our voting in Manatee County, we've actually had one, and it's a single digit, one case where we actually think that there was fraud involved. We've not faced those issues. We're pretty stringent on watching them come in. We're pretty stringent on trying to match up and make sure that we have the right people. So we've really not seen that. I'm not 100% sure what the president was talking about yesterday in his comments, but we have not seen it. Is it probably a bit easier? Yeah, you could probably have some issues. If I were the local mafia and I was controlling the vote and I said, hey, bring your ballot in here, I'm going to watch you fill it out, and then we're actually going to put it in the envelope and mail it for you, could that happen? Absolutely, that could happen. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But the same thing could happen if you were going to go to the polling place and you were required to take a picture on your cell phone of your ballot after you voted it and bring it out and show me, as the mafia boss, that you did it the way I wanted. So fraud can happen just about any way you can think of. Do I think it's really wild? The Florida is not Chicago, and Manatee County is definitely not Chicago.
When the ballot is returned to you by mail, how do you make sure that ballot that's returned to you by mail is actually from the voter whose name you mailed it to?
Basically, as soon as the ballot comes in, we scan that ballot. Every one of them has a barcode on the outside. We scan it, and the first thing that happens is it jumps up, it shows the person's name, and it also shows their signature. We match those signatures up. If those signatures do not match, we send the customer a letter asking them to fill out the affidavit, provide us with a photocopy of a photo ID, something that we know who it is, and send that back to us along with a statement that they did, in fact, sign the ballot and sent it back to us. And that's about all you can do.
Mm. What's the penalty? If somebody were to, let's say, go into their neighbor's mailbox and pull out a mail ballot that they had asked for next door and filled it out and sent it back to you and signed, you know, whatever signature they signed, what's the penalty under law for doing that?
You know, it's an interesting question. I do not know. I probably should know, but I don't. But I do know that any time that you mess with the post office, that's a federal charge, and what the federal penalty would be, I do not know. Committing fraud in Florida is one thing. Committing a federal offense is another. Now, the question is could you get enough interest from the state's attorney's offices and the federal people to prosecute? I don't know that.
Hmm.
I've never been through it.
Is voting by mail popular in Manatee County?
Right now, more popular than it's been in the past, but as people are concerned about the virus of going to the polls, so we're seeing a substantial increase. When I got here 8 years ago, we mailed out roughly 30,000 vote-by-mail ballots. In this election, we're expecting to mail out close to 90,000. So a little over a third of our registered voters. You know, people should sign up for vote by mail, and here's why, Rob. I mean, this is more important than any of it. Yes, there could possibly be some fraud. I'll give them that. But more importantly, if you have that vote by mail ballot in your hand at your house, you're going to have it there for 2-3 weeks, maybe 4. You've got a chance to look at it, fill it out, and then if you don't want to vote by mail, go by one of the early voting sites, go by my office, and drop it in the box, okay? And that way you're assured that your ballot went to the box. And it's basically an insurance policy. It's an insurance policy that you're going to be able to exercise your right to vote because you don't know if you're going to be sick. You don't know if you're going to be called out of town. You don't know if your boss is going to ask you to work late. So why not have that insurance policy just in case? And so I really really ask people to look at the vote-by-mail ballot as an insurance policy. If they don't want to vote by mail, go by one of the early voting sites or my office and drop it in. And to be quite honest with you, and I don't know why, maybe it's because I'm an old-time veteran, even at my house where I get my ballot, I fill it out, I take it to my office, and I don't hand it to my secretary. I put it in the box. There's just something about being an old-time veteran. I want to put it in the box, and I don't know why. Just a little fluky, maybe, but I want to put it in the box.
Our guest is Mike Bennett. He's the supervisor of elections in Manatee County. Mike, by what time on Election Day does that vote-by-mail ballot have to be in your hands, in your office's hands?
So that there's no confusion on the deal, the ballot must be here at the office at 7 o'clock on election night. Now, there are some exceptions, okay? Some of those exceptions, for example, are military and overseas ballots. Those people get extra time. One of the things that we have asked for from the governor's office is to give us a little bit more flexibility, especially during these times, and allow us to keep our early voting sites open until Tuesday night, okay? Right now, most of them are shut down on Sunday or Saturday across the state. We would like to have those stay open on Monday and that Tuesday, so it would be a little bit different. But right now, people should plan on that ballot has to be in our office by 7 o'clock on election night.
Do many people make the mistake of thinking, well, it's Monday, I'll go down to the post office, I'll drop my mail-in ballot into the slot at the post office, and it'll get there at the election supervisor's office the next day or the next 2 days. Do many people make the mistake that think, well, that'll be counted anyway?
Surprisingly, not as many as you would think. But we always encourage people. The fact is, if they call up right before the election and want us to send them a vote-by-mail ballot, we feel more comfortable with having an entire week, okay, so we can make sure it gets to them in the mail. If they fill it out and then it has 2 or 3 days to get back to us, and we prefer 3 days each way, okay, so we encourage people, if it's going to be less period of time than that, please stop by the office. We will hand you a vote-by-mail ballot. You can take it out and put it in the mail. But we do caution people that the U.S. mail is not the elections office. Just because it's postmarked doesn't mean that it's voted. They have to be in the office.
Do you think that should change? Some people say, look, as long as I got it in the mail before Election Day, my vote should count. Do you think that we should extend it so that the postmark rules on whether or not that vote is counted?
Well, here's the problem, okay? And the reason I will say no is because once you do that and you change it, so the next time it says, well, look, as long as the postmark is there, it's good, okay? Well, we actually have ballots that are postmarked coming in now from the presidential preference primary in March, okay? Because people have had them sitting around the house for one reason or another, and they're not postmarked, you know, back in March that they could have been there. They're postmarked last week or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, okay? So it doesn't make sense. So once you start extending it, is if you've had that ballot for 30 days, I think you've had time to fill it out and mail it.
Yeah. Okay. I just think that if you have it postmarked, though, on the day before the election or midnight of the election morning, that it ought to count.
I agree with you, except for one thing. What happens if it gets lost in the mail somewhere and doesn't get delivered to us until 6 days after? Is that the right time? Or is it 7 days after? Or maybe, you know what, maybe we should do it 9 days after. You see what I'm saying? You keep stretching the time out there. And I agree, because normally on so many things we do legally, the postmark counts, okay? If it was postmarked and it was stamped, it was in the mail, it counts. But I got to tell you, how far out do you extend it? Right now, you know, we extend another 10 days for military and open, overseas ballots, where do you... There's got to be a cutoff date, a time certain.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that maybe we should treat the civilians the way we treat the military.
And then make sure everybody would understand, then the election would not be certified until, what would that be, at least 13 days after the election night?
And we have this, as Americans, we have this need, we want to know right away.
Right now. Right now.
All right. So, Mike, how essential is the post office to your job? Because the post office is in deep trouble. It's asking for more money because it's having a hard time getting through this coronavirus pandemic. Fewer people are mailing things. How essential is the post office? And I'm worst case scenario, what if the post office were to shut down? How would that affect your operations in Manatee County?
Well, I don't believe that that's ever going to happen. I really don't. The United States has had the post office literally since our Constitution was signed. So I'm not concerned about that. I am concerned that the efficiency of the post office can certainly be questioned. Okay. However, when you look at some of the entire packages, I believe that if people are willing to send their car payment in, their house payment in, get money from their Social Security, get their money mailed to them from their employee or whatever it is. You know, people trust the mail to send money out and pay their bills and get money back and make them work. But for some reason or other, the ballot seems to cause questions. Well, yes, I trust them for everything but my ballot, okay? So I think there's more of a bias against the ballot than there is than the U.S. mail.
Mike, you guys have a primary in August, as we do up here in Hillsborough and Pinellas County?
Right. That's a national in Florida. It's a national race, a Florida race. Everything is a primary in August. And then, of course, the general election in November.
How can people get a mail-in ballot if they want to participate in the August primary?
There's a couple of ways. They can call the office. Just literally make a phone call to the office. We'll sign them up for it. They can put in a written request. They can go on the website, sign up for Vote by Mail. So there's several ways that they can do it. We encourage people to go to the website, sign up for Vote by Mail, or call the office is the safest way to do it. We like it when they send an application because it allows us to update their signature. But that's really where we're at on it. We make it as simple as possible.
What's the number for the Manatee Supervisor of Elections office?
941-741-3823.
Mike, is there anything else that you'd like the public to know about voting right now and any other issue that you'd like to point out?
Yeah, I really do. I think that especially with this particular virus floating around and people are nervous about going out and people are nervous about standing in line to vote, just for an insurance policy, and maybe they only do it for these two elections coming up, but for an insurance policy to be able to exercise what I consider the greatest right we have, please call the office, sign up for Vote by Mail, go to votemanatee.com, sign up for Vote by Mail, but do it as an insurance policy. You don't know what's coming tomorrow.
Mike Bennett, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF.
Rob, you have a wonderful day, my friend.
That's Mike Bennett, who's the Supervisor of Elections in Manatee County. You heard him urging people to sign up to vote by mail. He has a different opinion about voting by mail than President Trump does. He's a former state senator and a Republican, and his office, if you want to call and sign up to get a vote by mail ballot, you can call 941-741-3823. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rob Lori. This is Radioactivity. And let's open up the phone lines and take your phone calls about these issues. We can talk about unemployment. We can talk about whether or not to be able to trust or whether or not you trust the Florida health data that comes out on the COVID-19 website that the state publishes. And we can also talk about voting by mail, or if there's something else you want to raise, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Or you can email the studio, as Tony did. Tony wrote this. He's from St. Pete. He says, Senator Janet Cruz discussed well yet another example of how a total one-party domination of the state by Republicans hurts all Floridians. Governor DeSantis came in and made one pro-environmental gesture, so we would all think he was a new kind of Republican. Actually, his administration, by apparently hiding the true COVID-19 figures, is acting as a complete and total tool for President Trump, who DeSantis has praised so much, writes Tony in St. Petersburg. David writes this, I was disappointed but not surprised that the state legislature's leadership and DeSantis failed to call for a special session. If they had any, he uses a word here I'm not going to use, if they had any blank or if they cared at all about their constituents, then they would have a special session this summer to address the Florida unemployment debacle. Our leadership failed us once again. That's a David's opinion out there. Greg writes this, for Senator Cruz, Trump has repeatedly stated we're in a war with COVID. In a real war, leadership would not delegate power to 50 different generals to run it any way they want. Why are we doing this now, writes Greg. Let's take some phone calls. We're going to go to Alvin in Sarasota, who's been hanging on for a long time. Alvin, thanks a lot. Sorry you had to wait so long. What's up?
Hello. Rob?
Alvin, take it away.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Janet Cruz's information was very helpful. I've been spinning my wheels with unemployment here in Sarasota, and she kind of answered some of my questions. I was wondering if you guys might have information on who we would contact in Sarasota County to help us. I can't get a hold of anybody at the on the DEO website.
Yeah, you'd want to call your state senators and state representatives. And forgive me, I don't have the whole list in front of me. I'll look it up. But Margaret, okay. Margaret Good is one person I would look up. I don't know if she is your representative, but you might look her up to see. You want to call your state senator, state representative. They want people to like them. They want your vote, and they want to do good things for you. In the hope that when November comes around, you'll vote for them.
Yes, definitely. I just want to get information. I've applied, and then it's saying that my application is inactive. So then I applied on paper, and then I heard from read on a news site that the mobile site tends to have better information. So I go to the mobile site, and it says that my application is processing, but there's nothing I can do about it. And then I got an email last night saying that I'm missing information. So I got on there this morning, and there's no option for me to add the information. And then I call the office, and it just says they have too many calls, and they're not able to call anybody back.
Yeah, I think that's. I think the state is just swamped, and they haven't hired enough people, and they haven't trained enough people. So, that's a huge problem. But I would look up your state senator and state house member,
and
I think they might be a little bit more helpful.
Yes, and your show is very helpful. I've been listening a lot.
Thanks Alvin. Thanks, and we're going to talk tomorrow. We're going to have a slightly different angle on the issue of unemployment, and we'll have another guest about that tomorrow. We've got some other topics coming up tomorrow, too. You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF in Tampa, and let's go to James in Ruskin. James, thanks for calling in. What's up?
Yes, I remember a controversy a few years ago about anyone was able to challenge a signature with no experience in signature analysis or anything. And I've quit voting by mail, so I wouldn't have to worry about that. But have you heard anything about who can challenge these signatures on a mail-in ballot?
I haven't heard anything. I should have asked Mike Bennett about that. I think you can track your ballot, though, and so I'll be doing more shows about elections as we get closer to August and closer to November, but I'm pretty sure that you can track your ballot to see whether or not it's been counted. And so that way, if somebody did challenge your signature, you would know whether or not it was rejected or not.
Oh, that would help a lot.
Yeah, so I think, and what I would do, you're in Ruskin, I would call the Hillsborough Supervisor of Elections office and just tell them. Right now, it's pretty calm at that office. There's not a lot of activity, so you probably will be able to talk with somebody pretty quickly and just say, hey, look, I'm worried about voting by mail. do I have anything to worry about? And you're in Ruskin. I know that I just got in the mail from Hillsborough County, from Craig Latimer, I got a little form that said, if I want to vote by mail, fill out this form, return it to Latimer's office, and I'll get a mail-in ballot for August when the election comes up, and that's coming right up. So you could call the office just for peace of mind.
Oh, I'll do that.
Okay, James, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, 813-239-9663. That's what they're there for, right? Let's go to Nancy in Sarasota. Nancy, you're on. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi, thanks for your show, and thanks for teaching us about all these important topics. I have a question about the mail-in voting. When I voted in March in Florida's primary, there was a person who carried in his ballot that he had received to do mail-in voting to the polling place.
Right.
And he said, I didn't get a chance to mail this in. And they said, oh, don't worry about it. Just give us that ballot. And they handed him a new ballot, and he walked over to the machine. So fortunately, his vote was counted. Even though he neglected, let's say, to mail it in at the appropriate time. But I don't understand what the Department of Elections process about double ballot is. Why would somebody who has a vote, you know, a ballot in their hands get another ballot?
Well, that's a really good...
Yeah.
That's a really good question. I think the answer is, Nancy, and I'll get another supervisor of elections on, and there's five others that I haven't invited yet. But I think the answer is that on election day, on that sheet that has your name on it, there's an indication of whether or not you've already voted. So if that person had mailed in his ballot before election day and they received it at the elections office, then there would be a record that they would have right there at the desk that you sign in at the polling place.
Right. I don't suspect like a mistake on the benefit of the doubt side, or fraud on the worst case scenario. But the two he had his mail-in ballot, and they took it from him and gave him another ballot, and that's where I would think a mistake might happen, or a miscount, or outright fraud.
I think
and ballot, and then some people choose to go to the polls.
I understand the confusion. I think the way that would work is that, let's say that person voted by mail ahead of time and then walked into their poll and voted again. So now you've got a record of, in the election supervisor's office, of the person mailing in their ballot and then also voting on election day. And I think that would be a crime. Now,
right.
Now I think I'd have to get an election supervisor in here to discuss it, because they're the experts. I am not.
Right.
So don't take my word for it. but I think what Supervisor Bennett told us just now, he said in his years, he's only seen one case of voter fraud in Manatee County. So I think they do check it, and, they...
It just seems simple to me to collect his mail-in ballot rather than...
Yeah.
Destroy it.
Yeah, right, right.
Get another one that's like,
I don't know what the reason is. We'll have to ask. Next time I get a supervisor on, I'll ask them why they
do that. All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate you. Bye.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks for saying that. Let's go back to the phones. And our phone number is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jim in Ybor City. Hi, Jim. You're on M&F. Jim. Did I get the... Jim, are you there? Jim? Jim, I can't hear you. Jim, I can't hear you. All right, Jim, I'm going to put you on hold. Maybe we can get you later on. Let's go to Fonda in Brandon. Hey, Fonda, you're on M&F. What's up?
Hey there. I have had an absentee ballot before, and I decided to go in person to vote. The worker at the polls took my absentee ballot and crossed it out with a large black marker, and then I was able to vote.
And so that's what happened. That's what Nancy observed too, that somebody brought in their absentee ballot, but they destroyed that ballot at the polling place and then made you use a new form when that person got there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks, Fonda.
Thanks.
All right. Let's try Jim in Ybor City one more time. Jim, you're on. What would you like to say? Hi, Jim. All right. Sounds like Jim's got problems. Let's go to, we've got, well, hey, look at this. We've got two open lines. This never happens. You can get through right away. 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Lots of emails have come in. I'll just read a few of them before we go back to the phones. Tomas writes this. How is that debacle on the state unemployment site not a criminal issue at this point, writes Tomas. Yeah, I'm not a criminal lawyer, so I don't know. Douglas writes this. Do you know what the state of Florida Auditor General's political affiliation is? No, I do not. I'm sorry, I don't know. Bubba writes this. Throw all the bums out. They're not public servants. They're greedy, writes Bubba. Dennis writes this regarding Mike Bennett. He says, Mike is a Vietnam veteran and a friend of Florida Veterans for Common Sense. When he was the majority leader in the Florida Senate, he helped get the Veterans Treatment Court bill passed. That's Dennis out there. So Dennis giving a hurrah to Mike Bennett. And Terry writes this, do you have the Pinellas info handy for vote by mail? No, but I will look it up. It's easy to look up if you've got a computer. You want to look for Pinellas Supervisor of Elections phone number. That's all you have to look for. Let's go to Lenore in Newport Richey. Hi, Lenore. You're on MNF. What's up?
I just wanted to comment that I've been voting by mail for many, many years now, and it's really easy. And occasionally I go down to the elections office at the county seat or at the county elections office and just make sure that I'm still getting absentee ballots. And if you do fill out, I use it like as a guide for myself to check and make sure that everything is the way I want it. And sometimes I go in and mail or vote right at the place, but sometimes I just take it. And the last time I went in, and they will take your absentee ballot at your voting place, and you don't have to stand in line. You just hand it to them, and they will put it in the box for you. And I watched them do it. And they don't black it out because I'm not voting in person. I'm just dropping off my absentee ballot, which really helps.
Mm, okay. All right. Well, Lenore, thank you. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that information. Somebody had asked earlier what the phone number is in Pinellas County for the Supervisor of Elections office, and they have a new supervisor, Julie Marcus, and the number for her office is 727-464-VOTE, 727-464-VOTE. In Pinellas County. So if you want to do like Mike suggested and sign up to vote by mail, that's the way to do it. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. And let's go to Jackie in Sarasota. Hi, Jackie. You're on MNF. What's up?
Oh, hi, Rob. I wanted to say that I like to vote by mail just because you have enough time to really look over the ballot and check out people you don't know and things like that.
Yeah, me too. I like that too.
Right, but also, and then I also like to drop it in the box. And so they can't do that at all the polling stations, but I go down to the Supervisor of Elections office, and you can drop it in the box right there, no problem.
Yeah, it's always good. And, you know, the one question, and it just dawned on me, the one question I didn't ask is, does Manatee County pay the postage on vote by mail? Because sometimes at my house, I don't know about your house, but I'm running around looking for a stamp, and I can never find it when I need a stamp. So.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right, Jackie, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I mean, I really actually prefer to go to the polling station. That's what.
Yeah, you know, I do too. And I'm a little bit worried. Last time I went to my polling place, there wasn't enough hand sanitizer. People were spread out. But I just, you know, if there's a large crowd, and there will likely be a large crowd in November, you know, that'll be a question that comes up when we interview more Supervisor of Elections. I do like to go see my neighbors at the voting place. Yeah. Okay.
Right. I do too. Okay, thank you,
Jackie. Jackie, thanks a lot. Thank you. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment about this program on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for the latest news coming to us from NPR. That's coming up in just about 10 seconds. And then in the next hour, we'll hear a national call-in show. It'll be very interesting if you're just tuned into WMNF. This is WMNF Tampa St.